Sahasrarita. Okay, so Vishnu Sahasranama. We'll start with just briefly verse 93. And then go from there. Everybody ready?
Okay. It's verse
93. 93. Repeat after me. Pratyayaha.
Pratyayaha.
Pratitihi pranya pratyayaha. Prajnanam Brahma.
Prajnanam Brahma.
Iti.
Iti.
Shrutehe.
Shrutehe.
Pratitihi, which is the root of pratyayaha. Pratitihi. Pratyayaha. Can mean prajna, which is just consciousness. Pratyayaha also means a vritti. And so means a thought modification of vritti. So Bhagavan, so Vishnu is called Pratyayaha because every vritti is Ishvara. There is no vritti that is not Ishvara. So pratiti means a vritti which is shining with knowledge. You know, that vritti, that pratyaya. So we usually in Vedanta with Shankara uses this word pratyaya as a vritti, a thought modification. So what is so beautiful about this in terms of your own nishtha, in terms of your own knowledge, is seeing, recognizing every vritti that comes through the mind as Ishvara. So that's a beautiful...
Every one of them, right?
Every one of them is Ishvara. There are also some, in the meditations now, I'm making a differentiation just for our own clarity between Ishvara Srishti and Jiva Srishti. So... But Jiva Srishti, so Ishvara Srishti means Ishvara's creation, means the Vyavahara, the shared reality. Ishvara Srishti is shared, the shared reality. Okay, so like, and what we perceive through our sense organs is Ishvara Srishti, it's a shared reality. Pratibhasika, Jiva Srishti is Pratibhasika, that's subjective reality. And so... But that subjective reality follows the laws of Ishvara. It's not outside of Ishvara. Just like the jiva and the abilities of the jiva belong to Ishvara, are part of Ishvara's law. So there's not a jiva that's separate from Ishvara. But if we want to see in terms of the jiva who is existing as part and parcel of Ishvara, what belongs to the jiva or is the jiva's creation? Versus Ishvara's creation. So even though everything that belongs to the Jiva Srishti is part and parcel of Ishvara because the entire material is Ishvara. Okay? But it's coming out of the Jiva. And so we say, what is Pratibhasika? What is the Pratibhasika Satyam, the subjective reality that we experience belongs to the Jiva.
So he doesn't judge like dharmic ideas or misbehavior. There's not a judge there.
Well, let me just continue on we'll get into a long discussion. So you have to just let me kind of wrap this up.
Okay.
So let's just keep it that the Ishvara Srishti is the objective reality in which the Jiva Srishti exists. You can't have a Jiva Srishti without Ishvara Srishti. That's the idea. But when we're making this type of differentiation, in the end, every experience you have is Ishvara. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that's away from Ishvara. But within Ishvara, I can make this division. Mm-hmm. Now, why it's important for us to make this type of division, I can look at absolutely everything as Ishvara, every vritti is Ishvara, which is very useful. But there's some vrittis that I have some control over. I actually do not have control over jnana vrittis. Vrittis that are true, knowledge vrittis. I have no control over that. As long as I can close down my sense organs and not experience them, but if my sense organs or my means of knowledge are in operation, then that knowledge will take place. If the sense organs are adequate, or if the different pramanas that I'm functioning are adequate, a knowledge which will be produced, which is dependent, really, upon the vastu, on the thing that is there. So those jnana vrittis we can say are Ishwara. So we wouldn't give those to Jiva Srishti, because those jnana vrittis are true to the vastu, and their take vastu means whatever the object is, and because they're born of what exists within empirical reality, which is the sense organs, etc. You see the difference there? I'm not creating those vrittis, whereas my raga dvesha, my likes and my dislikes, my dream, my imagination, all of these things are something I have some control over. And this is important when we're thinking about gaining knowledge or jnana nishtha, clarity of knowledge, or being firm in my knowledge. That's why these meditations, some of the meditations we're doing now, have to do with recognizing the jiva srishti when it's taking place. And during the day, we notice it most frequently in our daydreams, right? A daydream is something that you can pull back. That daydream is not empirical reality. I can pull the whole daydream back. Just like when I wake up from a dream, that's pratibhasika. That belongs to the jiva. That's not shared reality. So I can pull these things back. As a jiva, as you gain knowledge, your buddhi, its value system, in a sense, changes. The value system for all of us, our value system changes based upon what we know, what we understand. And so once you recognize the Ishwara, and you recognize Ananda as the very being of Ishwara, as the very Atma, these raga dveshas don't make much sense. I need this so that I can be happy. I have to get rid of this so that I can be happy. I don't have to get rid of anything to be happy. And I don't have to gain anything to be happy, because the source of the ananda is my very being. And so all of these raga dveshas lose their satyam. They lose their stature of being satya, of being real. That's not real. The raga, the template of the raga, I need this in order to be happy. That's a raga. Okay? That isn't true. Right? That's based on ajnanam. I have to change this in order to be happy. Not true. Based upon ajnanam. But I can have a strong conviction. So these things all are, my value system is all based upon, as a good person, within the confines of dharma, to accrue the things that I need to become happy, and to get away from the things that I don't want to be happy. So as long as that is happening within dharma, then I'm kind of held by that Vedic vision, the whole first part of the Vedas, and that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
But with my knowledge, when I recognize the source of ananda, and I recognize that this self is really the self of all beings, the self of the whole creation, there's nothing that is away from ananda. There are two things. There's nothing that's away from that wholeness. And so all these things enjoy this wholeness, and that wholeness that I am is not dependent on any of these things. That's the satya mitya. So that's what I gain as a jnani. But what happens is that my mind has an emotional lag time. And because of habitual behavior, it's always acting out these raga dveshas. All continually, even though you know. But once you know, say, and then karma yoga comes into play, only for the mumukshu, only for the person who is gaining knowledge. Once you know, then these raga dveshas, which are pratibhasika, right? They're not shared reality. You may have a raga or something, nobody else does for that thing, you know. Or maybe five people like that, five people hate it, you know. So that's not shared reality. This is existing in your own antakarana. And these raga dveshas, we spend, Swamiji will go on about this, we spend so much of our life, you know, concentrating. Oh, oops. I just forget to put that in, I guess.
What happened?
I forgot.
Testing, one, two, three. They've been listening to it. It's just not close.
Not as close, yeah.
Everybody's wired.
Everybody's listening, so.
Okay, so, so anyway, with your knowledge, based upon your knowledge, your buddhi can recognize these raga dveshas, can recognize the whole imaginal workings, almost unconscious habitual ways of thinking that happen in the mind without you even needing to ask. It just simply is going on and kind of chattering away on its own.
Built in.
Yeah, but these things, you can actually, they're your creation. Right? It's fine with Bhagavan for you to pull these back. You know, there's no objection. You can easily pull these things back, and the reason you do it is because of your knowledge. You can find that your mind is working away on the future, worrying about the future, you know, the anxiety about the future, what's going to happen to me, am I going to be this, or maybe I'm going to become a bag lady, what's going to happen, nobody's going to be there for me, nobody's going to take care of me, what am I going to do tomorrow, on and on and on, all this kind of stuff. It's all imagination. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with reality. With your reality, it has nothing to do with it at all. You're making the whole thing up. Your mind is. It's making the whole thing up. And the huge problem with it is that as it makes these things up, it generates the emotions that go along with those thoughts. Like right now, if I ask you, just imagine biting into a lemon. What happens?
Saliva.
Mm-hmm. You feel the sourness of the lemon. So these thoughts that we have are actually creating this emotional life. And so that's, and it's the same. This is on the going to the future. It's the same going into the past. It's creating an emotional life. This happened to me. This person did this to me. This person destroyed my life. This person betrayed me. This person hurt me. If this hadn't happened, I would be okay. I hate this person. All of this kind of stuff, whatever it happens to be, whatever the kalpana, kalpana means the imagination, it's not just the imagination, it's the emotions that are generated by this imaginal thinking. This is all pratibhasika. When you gain knowledge and gain a recognition of your own being and your own nature, which is not there until you gain knowledge, until you gain knowledge, all of this is real, you know, and your imaginings count because you're totally dependent on the world for your ananda, right? And so all of these words, all of these things could happen, all of them could happen, all of them could take away my happiness.
Security.
If you're a jnani, it is not true. It is not true, and you know it is not true because you know yourself and you know your own nature, which allows the buddhi, your mind, to pull these things back. So when you catch your mind spinning, you can say, now, wait a minute. Is this true? Or is it catastrophic thinking of, is it true? You can do the satyam hitam priyam of the vaktapas. Is this true? Is this thinking useful or productive or beneficial in any way? You know? Is it priyam? Is it kind? Is it loving? You're probably going to say, not at all. It is not useful. And there's no ananda, there's no love in it, really. There's no shraddha in it, there's no trust in it, there's no knowledge in it. And so come on home then. You bring it home. Now the thing is, and you can do that, just like you can, if you have an imagination, you can bring it home. Let's come home to Ishvara. But Ishvara means to the vyavahara, to the empirical shared reality that I'm living in right now in the present. So let me come home. Same with the problems that you may have with the past, whatever it is, whatever the things that have happened to you, whatever people have done to you, whatever kind of hurts that you're carrying. Same thing. Do I get something out of thinking about this over and over and over again? Is it helpful? You know? Is it kind? Is it useful? What is it doing for me? Nothing. Okay, so I'm going to bring it back. And then for these recurring types of imaginal life, this recurring patterns of imagination, then we can do inner child work. We can have in the present, I am going into a dialogue or into a relationship with these imaginings, right? So that I can transform them, so that they don't have a tendency to be overwhelming my mind and living their own life, you know. So the mind, your buddhi gets used to living in the present and pulling these imaginings back when they're not useful. Sometimes, I mean, the mind can imagine, it can have fantasy, all kind, that is harmless. It's a capacity that the mind has. You know, but what if you don't want, what if it's creating a horror story for you? Or what if you never live in the present? You know, what if you're just living in the fantasy all the time? I mean, why? What is that good for you? So you can use this tremendous capacity of the mind, and you can, in a way that is useful, is beneficial. So learning how to do that is so important. So anyway, to get back, this pratyaha. When I start recognizing, you know, everything is Ishvara, Ishvara becomes dominant in my experience. There is no experience that is away from Ishvara. My buddhi knows that. If my buddhi knows that, has that knowledge, there's more to it than that. Ishvara himself is prajna, is consciousness. The truth of every vritti is Brahman, right? And so in recognizing Ishvara is every pratyaya, I have to recognize my own presence of the Atma that is there. Because Ishvara is not just a vritti. Ishvara is a conscious being. So the conscious being is me. So prajnanam brahma is a, that Swamiji quotes here, is a mahavakya. Prajnanam brahma. So the prajnanam, the consciousness in every pratyaya, that consciousness is only Brahman, right? And prajnanam, so when we means consciousness, when you say consciousness, you're talking about your consciousness, me. That consciousness, that prajna, is Brahman. The consciousness, every vritti, as the maya upadhi, every vritti is Brahman. The consciousness, which is the self of every vritti, is Brahman. So that every vritti you can say is Ishvara, because Ishvara is Brahman with the pratyaya. And another thing to notice about this, you have no experience beyond your pratyaya. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now for Ishvara, the whole maya upadhi is his experience. Right? This whole maya upadhi is like an infinite vritti, not exactly, but infinite vritti in the sense of its knownness. So that's Ishvara. For you as a jiva, the jiva, this body, mind, sense organs, the experience of the jiva is limited, right? But what is it that you are actually experiencing? Well, you experience the self-evident nature of conscious being, of me, myself, which doesn't require any pratyaya, and everything else is only a pratyaya. There's nothing beyond that. Tell me something that's beyond it. Because you, in terms of your experience, like I can say that the pratyaya, in terms of a jnana vritti, the pratyaya, the vritti I'm having of that painting, right, is different than the painting. The painting is objective reality. My vritti through a means of knowledge is able to get a thought modification true to the painting. So there's a difference between the painting and the vritti. But what do I experience? You experience the vritti. Because you have faith in the means of knowledge that are in operation, and your means of knowledge are operating soundly, you know, you can have faith that your vritti, your jnana vritti, is true to the object, right? But you're experiencing vritti. That's so. Now I have to say it. Every vritti that you experience is Ishvara. That's a jnani. That's not an agnani. An agnani doesn't even have a clue about that. I'm a jiva, and this is the universe, and there's an Ishvara somewhere. What I recognize as a jnani is that there is nothing that is not Ishvara. And in terms of myself as having this jiva upadi, what does that mean? It means that every pratyaya, every experience that I have is only Ishvara. That there is nothing that is not Ishvara. That means this body is Ishvara, this mind is Ishvara, the sense organs are Ishvara, the imaginations are Ishvara, the ajnanam itself is Ishvara. Like Ishvara is not bound by the ajnanam, but there's no ajnanam out there somewhere else. There is nothing that's not Ishvara. The jiva suffers in a way that Ishvara does not suffer because of its limitations, which create a built-in ajnanam. Built-in ignorance by the very limitation of the body, mind, sense organs. The upadhi of the jiva, it has only limited knowledge. Limited knowledge is like, Swamiji uses this example, is like a flashlight, you know. Say you have a big, powerful flashlight, no matter how powerful it is bordered by darkness, right? And the more powerful the flashlight, the more darkness is illumined, right? That's why the pundits, this is all Swamiji, but it's so true, that's why the pundits are so humble. The more you know, the more humble you are. Because you just keep unveiling more and more ignorance. Because your knowledge, the borders of your knowledge, you know, become larger. Right? So that's a wonderful thing. So that's the nature of somebody. As you gain knowledge, the more you know that you don't know. And so, interesting. So that's the pratyaya. Notice that the pratyaya goes down to, it says, pratitihi prajna pratyaya. The pratitihi really is the shining of the vritti, the knownness of the vritti. That involves prajna, consciousness. That consciousness is Brahman. The vritti is Ishvara. The consciousness is Brahman. So I can say the vritti themselves are Brahman because there is no vritti independent of Brahman. Anyway.
So you make this awareness and consciousness sound like the most important.
Yeah, but I'm going to go on. True. 94. Sarva darshanaha.
Sarva darshanaha.
Sarvani.
Sarvani.
Darshanatmakani.
Darshanatmakani.
Akshini.
Akshini.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Saha sarvadarshanaha.
Saha sarvadarshanaha.
Sarvatmakatvat.
Sarvatmakatvat.
So here, let's just go straight to the... Swamiji says the one with all eyes. Sarva means all. The word sarva means all. Darshana means seeing. So let's see how he breaks that. The one who is all seeing, literally. So here he goes. Sarvani, nominative plural, sarvani. Darshanatmakani Akshini, yesya, for whom the eyes, Akshini, whose eyes, Akshini is in the nominative plural, Aksha means eyes, Akshini means the one who has eyes, so the eyes themselves. So whose eyes, Darshanatmakani, are, which are, have for their nature seeing. We'd say like this, just like fire has for its nature heat, eyes, what are they? Eyes are the vehicle for seeing. So eyes what is natural to the eyes, or the nature, is seeing itself. So the one who, the one who has all eyes. In the Purusha Suktam, there's a beautiful the Purusha Suktam that I actually want us to learn. It's a song, a sukta to the Purusha Ishvara. And in the Purusha Suktam, it'll say the one who is all feet, the one who is all hands, the one who is all eyes, the one who is all mouths are only going to belong to the Purusha. So here, that one, who is all eyes, for that one, who, the one who has all eyes, he is called Sarvadarshanaha, Sarvatmakatvat, because of being the very self of everything. So he's the very self of everything, including the very self of the eyes, the nature of the eyes to see, so the one who is all-seeing. So the one who has all eyes, it also means the one who is all-seeing, means the whole, through all, the infinite number of eyes, the whole creation is even. It's looking at it from that standpoint. So, sort of the darshanaha. And then if you read Swamiji's commentary, he just comments on different places where Bhagavan is talked about this being all eyes, all feet, all mouths, mm-hmm. like that. You're Sarvadarshanaha. And number 95, we are now going to be moving into another list of names. Okay. So let's just go on. We'll learn how to chant this. Well, repeat after me for the first, just so we see which words we're going to be going through. Ajaha.
Ajaha.
Sarveshwaraha.
Sarveshwara.
Siddhaha.
Siddhaha.
Siddhihi.
Siddhihi.
Sarvadihi.
Sarvadihi.
Achuttaha.
Achuttaha.
Vrishakapihi.
Vrishakapihi.
Ameyatma.
Ameyatma.
Sarvayoga.
Sarvayoga.
Vimistritaha.
I have Diddhihi instead of Siddhihi.
It should be Siddhaha and Siddhihi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where's their typo?
Yeah,
it says the. Yeah.
The wrong the?
Fourth word starts with a D.
Yeah, this.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So it's just regular stuff.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to go. I'll check that. So it should be Siddhaha, then Siddhihi. Double Dadha at the end, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just go through them one by one. Ajaha. Ajaha means the one who is unborn. Ja comes from the root jan, right? To be born. Ajaha, unborn. He unnegates.
Mm-hmm.
So ja to be born, ajaha, the one who is unborn. So we say this. Najayate iti ajaha.
Najayate iti ajaha.
The one who is not born. Najayate, he is not born. Janja, ja is the fourth gana word. Janjayate, so is not na jayate, he is not born. Iti, ajaha. Okay. This ajaha is important to understand. If something is unborn, means it doesn't exist in time. That's the important point. If it is, it exists, but it is unborn, then it has no beginning, right?
Oh.
Right? If it is, it exists, because we're not talking about, Swamiji says here, it's not like the Vandya Putra, the son of a barren woman.
Yes. Yes.
Son of a barren woman is not.
That's right.
Right? And so, of course, the son of a barren woman, which is not, is Ajaha. It's never been born,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it doesn't exist. But here we're talking about Ishwara, which does exist. But Ishwara has never been born. And so as Brahman, not even as Maya, nothing is ever born because there is no Maya. And there is no independent being. But within time and space, we talk about birth and death, which is fine. Here, though, the self-conscious being, which is Brahman, is free of birth. If it's free of birth, it's never come into being. Since it's not come into being, it can't go through a process of change. It hasn't come into being. To be able to, it is, means it always is. As when you say ajaha, what is now is what it is. Because it's never come into being, it doesn't exist in time, it's not something that's modifying. So what is, but has never come into being, what has never been born, simply is, which means the being that you are now, is. That's it. There's no past, present, or future. There's only the presence, there's only the present, really. So you are the... Swamiji likes to say, and I love this, when we say past, present, and future, we're talking with these three words about the flow of time. Past, present, and future. Okay? Brahman is not participating in the flow of time. Right. He is the presence of the present. Now, when we go there, being the one who is the presence of the present, and now when we think about the flow of time, actually, you are never outside of the present. You imagine into the future. You remember into the past. The imagination takes place in the present. Right? Now. When you're imagining, it is now. When you're remembering, it is now. So for you, there is no movement into past or future. You are always only in the present. But the imaginings of the future can be taking place in the present. The remembrances of the past can be taking place in the present. And so when we're talking about our projections into the future, we call that the future. Right? When we're talking about our remembrances into the past, we're talking about the past. But in terms of experience, you are always in the present. So we say, I am actually the presence of the present. Why I say that is because when I say the word present, it's in relationship to past and future. So if I'm looking at the flow of time, I am the presence in which the flow of time takes place. But when the flow of time is taking place, the only thing that is available to me is the present. See what I mean? So I'm the presence of the present. So it's nice that way. Now, so to understand Ajaha, talking about that presence of the present, because for something which is unborn, it's not taking place within the flow of time, it's not participating in that. So time takes place within the presence of the presence, but that presence is, and it is unborn. It's not like a Vandya Putraha.
Every time you think unborn, you think that it's not there.
That's what I'm saying. So that's the, if you say unborn. In fact, Swamiji uses something here. I don't have it in the Sanskrit, but he only translates from the Mahabharata. When Krishna in the second chapter is teaching Arjuna, he says this. So Krishna's speaking. So Krishna is there, right? Krishna's not non. He's not a Vandya Putra. He's there. So he says, "I was not born." That's the Aja. "Nor am I born." I was not born, nor am I born, nor will I be born. Right? I am not born, period. Right? I'm not going to be born. I was not born in the past. I'm not born the one who is here now. I was not born, and I won't be born in the future. I am free of being born. He says this negates the idea that it may be a non-existent thing. Then he says, "I am the Kshetrajna in all beings." Right? And I am known as Aja. Kshetrajna means the one who's the consciousness that lights up the present.
But Radha, if you have knowledge, you could also say that for yourself, I am not born.
Absolutely.
I don't exist,
because
and I won't
you're,
die.
Absolutely. Because you are Brahman.
Yeah.
So Krishna's talking about himself and then teaching Arjuna that you are that.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So Ajaha is important. Another word we use for Ajaha unborn is Nitya. Nitya is looking at it from the back end. Ajaha means I've never come into being. Nitya means that I am timeless. Right? I will never go out of being. I'm timeless. So Ajaha, Nitya.
What's
Kshetrajna? Kshetra and the Kshetrajna. The Kshetrajna means the knower of the Kshetra, knower of the field of experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And Kshetra is the field. Literally means field, like a a field that I'm walking through the field. That's what Kshetra means. But Krishna uses the term for means the field of experience. And then literally he's talking about the physical body. And the reason for that is that you don't have to be told that you're not the field. This is where the mistake begins. Right.
And Radha, what does Swamiji mean by in his commentary when he says Swarupa Lakshana of Ishwara?
Yeah. The Lakshana, let's look at this. This is an important question. Lakshana means a definition, but not just a definition. For a definition to be called a lakshana, it means it can't apply to anything else. So within the world, to come up with such a definition of something that cannot be applied to anything else, it can certainly be done, but that's what it means if it's a lakshana. It only fits that one thing that you're describing. So it's a very particular definition. It can't be applied elsewhere. If you use it as a lakshana, then that's exactly what you're talking about. It can't be mistaken as something else. So there are two types of lakshana. One is swarupa lakshana, one is tatastha lakshana. The swarupa lakshana is when the definition is actually pointing to the actual nature of whatever it is. So here, the swarupa lakshanam of Brahman is satchit ananda, right? That which exists, which is conscious, it's self-consciousness, which is ananda. Ajaha is swarupa lakshana, because ajaha is talking about the very nature of Brahman. Okay? The other type of lakshana is tatastha lakshana. Tatastha lakshana is what Swamiji is applying, this incidental attribute, it's maya being an incidental attribute to Brahman. Tatastha lakshana is an incidental attribute, means that it doesn't belong to Brahman, but by it, Brahman can be identified. So it's a lakshana. Only Brahman can be identified, nothing else. But it doesn't belong to Brahman as its own swarupa. So what is considered in reference to Brahman, the tatastha lakshana, is that from whom the universe has come, is sustained, and resolves. That is Brahman. The Maya Upadhi. The Maya Upadhi comes into manifestation, is sustained, and resolves. That is the tatastha lakshana of Brahman. So now, if I were to use for these two lakshanas, just to use a common example in the world, one that is often used is, that Swamiji is often used is in his village, all of the houses look exactly the same. So say you look down the street, kind of a dirt road, clay, like a clay street. You look down, and on the left there's a row of houses. They're all absolutely identical. And so if you say, I live in that house, then your mind's going, well, which house? Which house do you live in? Oh, that one way down there. But you can't say the blue house versus the red house. They're all identical. So I said, I don't know which one you're talking about. They're all identical, right? So then he says, oh, okay, look at the one that has the crow on top of the chimney. And there's only one of those houses that has a crow on top of the chimney, which is an incidental attribute. It doesn't really say anything about the house, right? It's not a swarupa. It's not the nature of the house. But by it, the house is identified. It's incidental to the house, but because of it, the house is identified. That's called tatastha lakshana. So here, when Swamiji says ajaha is a swarupa lakshana, it's talking about the very nature of Brahman, not incidental. Make sense?
Yes, a little more than usual. Yeah, thank you.
Is it
ta, dental ta, unaspirate lingual ta, and then dental sta, the test ta.
I'm lost. Here,
don't read that.
Okay.
Well, because that's too much. Lingual, dental, ta, ta. Yeah. We need to keep it.
No, I just wanted to get the spelling right.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Another one. Sarveshwara. Sarveshwara. I'm not in a hurry.
Okay.
Well, I just don't want to take as many breaks. I already did one long break, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Sarveshwara. Sarveshwara. Sarveshan.
Sarvesham.
Ishwaranam.
Ishwaranam.
Ishwaraha.
Ishwaraha.
Sarveshwaraha.
Sarveshwaraha.
There's other ways this can be taken. Sarva means all. Ishwara means Lord. Sarveshwara, the Lord of all. But how it's taken here is of all of the Ishwaras, the one who is the Ishwara. Sarveshwaranam, of all of the Lords, the one who is the Lord, the Lord of all of the Lords. Here he's talking about, there's so many devatas. So if you think about it in the creation as an infinite order, every order can be looked at upon a devata, as a devata. Mm. You know? So like Vayu would be the devata of the wind, Agni, the devata of the fire. So all of these devatas have their domain. Right? But who is their Lord? Are all of these devatas kind of running amok on their own? Or are they contained within a whole? And so this of all of the lords, even Indra, who is the lord of one of the heavens, Brahmaji, who's the lord of the... Brahmaji is the devata for the whole Satyaloka. Indra is the devata for many of the heaven worlds who have huge domains. Right?
Don't they get in big arguments, all those...
So the devas and the asuras, in all the myths, there's all kinds of things going on there. But who do all of these function under whom is Ishwara? That's why it's important. When we say Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, all of these are only Ishwara. There is nothing that's not Ishwara. But then different devatas have different domains. However, when we say Brahmaji or Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, these are actually names for Ishwara himself, the whole. Okay? But an aspect of Ishwara, Ishwara in a certain state. So when Ishwara is manifesting, we say Brahmaji. When Ishwara is sustaining in manifest creation, we say Vishnu. We're evoking Ishwara as Vishnu. When the creation is resolving, or we're also, we want to be removing ignorance or something to being destroyed, we evoke Ishwara as Shiva. If we want something to stay, if we want to be taken care of and to our wealth, you know, to be maintained, we say Vishnu. To be protected, Vishnu. Brahmaji for new beginnings, that type of thing. Brahmaji is not that often prayed to. It's usually Vishnu and Shiva. Because Brahmaji has already happened in our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
almost like Brahmaji is... I don't know.
The creator.
Yes, I know, but it is interesting, isn't it, that there's almost no temples in India to Brahmaji.
No, there isn't. That is interesting.
Yeah. It's like Maya is already...
It's already happened.
Yeah. Getting paid a lot of attention.
So we don't need to have Brahmaji become active again. He's already done his job, and now he's abiding his Vishnu. Siddhaha.
Siddhaha.
Nitya nishpanna rupatvat.
Nitya nishpanna rupatvat.
Nitya.
Nitya.
Nishpanna.
Nishpanna.
Rupatvat.
Rupatvat.
Siddhaha.
Siddhaha.
So here, there are a group of words that we use in Vedanta a lot, and siddhaha is one of them. We say, the word sadhaka, that akka affix, the sadhaka, is the one who is seeking. The sadhya is what is sought. The sadhaka, the seeker, right, is seeking the sadhya. The sadhya is what is sought. The sadhana is the means for achieving the sadhya. So we have the sadhaka, the seeker, who is using the sadhanas, the means, to gain the sadhya, the thing that is sought. Siddhaha means once the sadhaka has gained the sadhya, the thing that is sought, he becomes a siddha, a siddhaha, accomplished. That is accomplished. That sadhya, which you have been working to attain through the sadhanas, is siddha, it is accomplished. But for Bhagavan, as Brahman, he is ever siddha. He is ever accomplished. there is, so nitya siddha, so he says nitya, always, ever, nishpanna rupatva siddha. He is siddha because of being nishpanna, accomplished, nitya, timelessly. So that's why it's siddha, the Ishwara, Ishwara, the Brahman, is siddha, ever accomplished, which means there is nothing for you to gain, there's something for you to know. So we say, we have a famous saying that Brahman, or self-knowledge, or self-knowledge, is praptasya praptihi, the attainment of the attained. Because Brahman is your very being. And so there, it cannot be a pala. Pala means something, you know, to achieve, something to be gained, something to, like a karma pala, something to be gained, something to be achieved. You can't achieve it because you already are that. Which means that all that can be done here in order to gain Brahman is to remove the ajnanam, to remove the ignorance, because your being already is Brahman and is the achievement of the achieved. You see what I mean? Praptasya praptihi, the achievement of the praptasya, of what is to be attained, that is already attained, the attainment of the attained, praptasya praptihi. How do you gain something that is already there? Only through knowledge, the removal of ignorance. And so if we say that Ishwara, Vishnu, is siddha, means he's ever-present. He is always there. And for the especially important for the mumukshu, because the mumukshu has to understand that there's nowhere to go here. There's only something to know. There's nothing to achieve. There's no pala. There's no karma pala. There's no result of a karma to be had here. There's only knowledge, recognition of what actually is. And that is the praptasya praptihi. Make sense? Okay. I'm going to stop.
Wow.
Om swasti prajabhyah parapalyantam nayena margena mahim mahishah go brahmane vishvamastu nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu parjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam chobarahitah brahmana santu nirbhayah om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayah sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschit dukha bhag bhavet asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurujo Namaha Harihi Om